What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, so this is a festival that I'm actually into and I want to go. So Netflix announced Netflix is a Joke Festival, which is a live comedy festival, and it's going to run from April 28th to May 8th. And I already went through all the lineups, and I'm like, oh, I need to get tickets for this. This one I think Kaplan would be all into. It's Chelsea Handler, and it's called Vaccinated and
Waxinated? H.
No, but I can't say the other word on air. It starts with an H, and I think you'll be all up on that. Dave Chappelle is going to have one April 28th at the Hollywood Bowl. Then Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias is going to be...
Fluffy! I love Fluffy. He's
I love
funny.
Him. And he's going to be at Dodger Stadium May 7th.
He's doing Dodger Stadium?
He's doing Dodger Stadium.
Wow, that's awesome. Huge.
Yeah. Kevin Hart will be at Staples Center, a.k.a. Crypto Arena, Crypto.com Arena, May 6th.
Why didn't they try to call it Crypto.com Center? Like, you could have called it the Triple C.
Because you know what? I don't think they thought that through. I'm just
right?
Saying.
Like,
I'm
wouldn't that, that be, like, the better nickname for it? Be like, hey, I'm going to the Triple C.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean,
but then you wouldn't be saying Crypto.com.
I mean, but everybody knows.
Everybody hates the idea anyways if you're from whatever. I'm not going to get
into it. Did you grab like a letter from the Staples Center?
Yo, no lie. I wanted to, but I'm like, I ain't trying to go to jail either.
Really? You're going to jail? Like you can't just ask them, hey, can I have a letter?
I don't think they're
just going to. Yo, can I get a P all up in it?
Why?
You didn't ask for a P. Not an S. Not an L. Can a sister get an E? Come on.
I mean, just give me the whole alphabet, right?
I mean, what the hell?
Anyway, I mean, you're right up this alley. Netflix is a joke, you know, and just, I don't even know, man. But Amy Schumer's also going to be there May 6th at the Hollywood Palladium. So if you guys want tickets, go to netflixisajoke.com, all the lineups. And it's all over LA, which is pretty cool. The Wiltern,
really cool.
Hollywood Bowl, Dodger Stadium, Crypto.com Arena.
Who was at the Hollywood Bowl?
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Now, that's a great, first of all, it's my favorite venue in the city.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so Dave Chappelle there would be fantastic. I mean, the tickets for that have to be insane.
But a comedy show at Dodger Stadium, I'm having a hard time putting that all
crazy.
Together.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because, first of all.
Too big?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love rock concerts in stadiums, per se.
I went to Aventura concert at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, I don't know. I've been to some pretty, I've been to a bunch of baseball stadium concerts, okay? And mm-hmm. I feel like, no, I've never been to a comedy show there. But, I would feel like that must be pretty cool. Like, because that doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. So I think
how many people
it's
you think
the unique
would be there?
Nature of it.
A lot.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but Hollywood Bowl, what are we talking about? 10,000, 12,000, something like that?
Yeah.
Staples, Crypto, we're talking about 18,000.
Yeah, 18,000, mm-hmm. yeah.
But I mean, a baseball stadium for a comedy show, I mean, Chris Rock maybe? But even still.
No. Fluffy will
no, bro,
sell
Fluffy's
you
the legit, especially
yeah.
in L.A.
Yeah,
but what do you think? Do you think there'd be 40,000 people there, 35,000
yes.
people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't think of it. Look, I love Aventura, and I did not think, because it's Dodger Stadium, I was like, there's no way they're going to sell this thing out. Yeah. It was sold out. Yeah. Girls were tripping on their heels and all this other crazy stuff. But, yeah, I see it. I would love to go to that, the Dave Chappelle one. And then I really like the Chelsea Handler one because it's at the Wiltern, so it's really small.
I've met Fluffy. So he came over to do a show I did, a TV show on ESPN that mm-hmm. I was doing back in the day. And he was hilarious. Like, he was so
he's
funny.
Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially here in LA, he would, there's no question he's
wow, man. I'll tell you what, that playing a comedy show to a baseball stadium, that's a big deal, man. That's huge. Mm-hmm. I'd be really curious to see because, I don't love music in stadiums. I've seen Beyonce in a football stadium. I'm like, I don't love this. I saw the Rolling Stones in a baseball stadium. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm kind of close, so I kind of get it. So the rest of these guys back here, you know, they can't see what I can see. But seriously, a comedy show.
I'm so with
30
it.
Some odd thousand, 40,000 people in Dodger Stadium. That is interesting to me. Chelsea Handler, she doesn't do much for me. You guys like Chelsea Handler?
She's cool. I mean, I just...
I haven't watched her very much since her E! Show, Laura. I thought she was good there, but I haven't, I haven't seen her.
I've never seen, a comedy special of her besides the show, but I'm intrigued just because of the name of her show.
Which you said was Vaccinated
and H.
And H. I don't know what the H stands for. Should it be obvious?
H, and then it ends with a Y.
Happy?
Sure. Happy, hungry. Triple H. We used to do that with my friends. Triple H, happy, hungry, and H-R-Y. And then just fill in the rest of the letters. I don't think I could say that on air.
Of course you can say it on the air if it's the word I'm thinking about. Of course
you can
say it.
Oh, I'm
going to
do it. You can do it. But
horny. Is that the word you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's not. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Yeah, she openly talks about like.
I know she does. I'm just here. Hello, the mouse. So I don't know what.
Vaccinated,
you know.
And horny. Okay.
Because you all do right. Vax and
see,
wax.
See, now she beat you. Vax and wax. See?
Mm-hmm.
I still think vaxxed and waxed is better, but if she would have gone with vaccinated and waxinated, that's funny.
No.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes, wherever you are. All right, so we played Stephen A. saying that he thinks the Lakers are on the verge of becoming irrelevant, which I think is nonsense. Like, come on, let's slow down there. Now, he did say this that more and more people are starting to agree upon. Laura, play the other cut. He's fighting with Keyshawn on First Take about the Lakers and their kind of promises for this season as far as their threshold for success.
The Los Angeles Lakers might not make it out the first round. This is what I'm saying about the Los Angeles Lakers.
You might be right.
But they ain't beat Phoenix and they ain't beating the Warriors.
But I don't know that 24 games into the season, and neither do you, Stephen A. As much as you cover the NBA.
Warriors?
No,
Warriors?
You can't. No, we're talking about the Lakers.
All right, no.
You're saying they can't get out the first round.
No.
You're saying they're getting ready to become irrelevant.
I'm saying that's how they look like they're very
tall. No, that's not what you said. You said they get ready to become irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you.
I don't know that.
Let me say this to you never. Let me guarantee you this. They ain't beating the Warriors.
But we're not talking about bringing up the Warriors.
They ain't beating the Warriors.
Because I agree with you based on the way that they're playing right now. They ain't no way in the hell they going to beat anybody.
Okay.
All right. So, now, look, I think everybody right now is worried because the West, you know, you get the wrong matchup, you could be in trouble. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. However, I would agree with Key. You asked me yesterday about when I would panic, right? Like, you asked me that question?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, after the trade deadline, if they don't make enough improvement to this team or any improvement, then I would start to panic.
I mean, the reality of the situation is that we are 25% of the way into the season, which means there's 75% of the season to go. And I think that most of us, whether you're a huge Laker fan or you hate LeBron and the Lakers, regardless of which side you're on, most people listening today are Laker fans, obviously. But the point is, in LeBron, we trust, right? I mean, I have always had this perception that, well, LeBron shows up, he's playing for a championship. I grant you, they're 12-12. They haven't looked particularly good thus far. They've had LeBron miss a lot of games, and when he's played, they've lost games that you expect them to win. But it's still only 25% of the way into the season. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not there yet. Like, talk to me after the trade deadline around the All-Star break. Then I start to worry some, for sure. All right, Charles Barkley, before this Dallas-Brooklyn game tipped off, he had a specific target when it came to the Lakers' woes this season. And he was not, obviously, as we know about Chuck, he's not afraid to single anyone out. Here's what Charles had to say just a little while ago on TNT.
For the first month of the season, y'all blame everything on Russell Westbrook for the Lakers being putting all them old-ass geezers together, and y'all blame Westbrook. Now I hear y'all going to fire Frank Vogel. Listen, Russ is learning. Frank Vogel is a terrific coach. Putting all them old-ass geezers together and just trying to blame other people, it ain't right and it ain't cool. Listen, Anthony Davis, you got to play better. I said on this first night, if the Lakers were going to be any good, it was all going to be on you. Has nothing to do with Russell, had nothing to do with LeBron, and the rest of them old-ass geezers they put together out there. But now y'all done crossed the line because I really like Frank Vogel. And listen, it ain't his fault. But listen, it's in my opinion, I blame Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, you know I like you as a person, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. You're 27 years old. You're supposed to be in your prime. You're supposed to be one of the five best players in the world up there with Giannis, Kevin Durant, and those guys. And you ain't holding up your end of the bargain. So now I hear y'all going fire the coach. That's total BS, man.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I love
Anthony Davis, while not the biggest problem for the Lakers, he's supposed to be, at least during the regular season, with this older team. The idea was that, and this was last year's idea too, and then he got hurt, and then LeBron had to carry the team, and he was great until he got hurt. that Anthony Davis is supposed to kind of carry them through some of this because he is the youngest guy. He is a guy who is a top five talent, as Richard Jefferson said on this show. But he's not a top five player, Richard Jefferson said, and it's hard to disagree with him at this point. Now, is he the sole reason? No. I would push back a little on Charles there. But Anthony Davis, I talked about this yesterday, Cap. He's been really bad shooting the ball this year.
Well,
if it's not at the rim, if it's not at the rim, he's been really bad. 18% from three. He is, by every metric, the worst jump shooting player in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
Okay? And you just can't have that.
Right. And listen, this is why, to me, I love what Charles Barkley said. Because Charles is fearless, and Charles is respected, and Charles has the resume to give you a very strong opinion about this. I concur. Anthony Davis, everybody should stop walking on eggshells. Everybody should stop, you know, kowtowing to the ego. Dude, you're a 7-foot guy. I don't want to hear about playing point guard in high school and growing up and you're a point guard in a big man's body. No, you're not. Kevin Durant is a point guard in a big man's body. Anthony Davis is a prototypical, physically speaking, he's a prototypical center. Stop shooting the ball. Get down low, bang around in the paint, jam the ball home, play tough defense, play center. Why is this so difficult for everybody?
I'm with you on that. Like, we have talked about that ad nauseum here. And here's the thing. He hasn't played point guard, you know, as a kid since his junior year in high school. So that was a long time ago now. You know what I mean?
You hear that story. People bring it up all the time. You know, he was a point guard in high school, and then he grew 6 inches.
An easier description for when he was younger, but no longer the case.
Dude, play center.
Just play power forward, like, honestly, like, properly at this stage. Like, he's having a bad season. You know, we can talk. I had this discussion with Ireland the other day. Remember, I told you where I came on their show, and I'm like, he's like comparing him to Giannis. I'm like, no way.
Giannis.
Like, get out of here. Like, Giannis is a way better player than Anthony Davis this season.
Dude, Giannis put an entire team and franchise and city on his back on a gimpy knee last year and won a championship. Anthony Davis has a ring because he was part of LeBron's team. That is reality.
No, he was great, though. Let's not dismiss it, like, summarily that way.
No, but
he was the second
LeBron,
best player, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But if there's no LeBron, they don't win that championship.
Correct. Correct. But he was also great. But he has not been that great since then either.
All I'm saying is this. I'm with Charles Barkley. To me, Anthony Davis is the one guy that the Lakers gave the contract to. He's supposed to be the quote-unquote heir apparent to whenever LeBron is done.
Right. I don't see that personally.
I'm with you. I don't see him as a number one guy. I see him as a role player on a team.
I mean, not a role player.
Well, when I say role player, he's got a role to play amongst a bunch of other guys. But
he's not a number one, is what I'm saying. Right. Okay. There we go. That's fine. Don't say it the other way, because the other way, you're opening yourself up for criticism that you don't deserve because you're not phrasing it properly.
Well, listen,
I'm trying to help
five,
you. Like,
there's
that
five
way you
guys on the floor. Yeah. Everybody plays a role, but LeBron is the leader.
Correct.
Anthony Davis, I would love to see him become that, but I don't think he's got it.
I mean, we'll see. Everyone's been waiting for it. And look, if he, be the guy in the bubble, man. Not even the bubble. Forget about the bubble. Be the guy before the bubble. Like, that guy. Before the bubble, he was awesome. his first season, he was awesome. 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 Everything you would want him to be. And, you know, last year, injury marred, and prior to the injuries, not playing so hot, right? Like, he had career lows in a lot of categories. And then this year, it just not has been good. There needs to be, and look, guys go through slumps. I get it. But, you know, at some point, like LeBron said yesterday, comes with the territory. The criticism comes with the territory. Can he get out of it and make himself the guy we saw in New Orleans and the guy we saw here year one with the Lakers? That's the question. So I don't think Charles is out of bounds by bringing him up. Is he the sole problem? No. But he is definitely part of the solution if they can dig themselves out of this. If he can be the guy we saw in 2020, then this Lakers team has a real shot. If
you think the Lakers win tonight?
I mean, they should. They should. They got drubbed by freaking 30 the last time they played these guys. All right, this portion of the show is presented by Lyman Health Plan, changing healthcare one person at a time. All right, Radio Tinder. We got one more segment to go before Lakers-Celtics pregame with Sliwa and Michael. Radio Tinder is next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Linz, what do you got?
Well, Mario Cristobal was officially announced as the head, introduced as the head football coach at Miami on Tuesday. The news was kind of out of the blue when they hired him, leaving many to wonder, how exactly did all of this come about? What was the process like between offering Cristobal, hiring him, and then, you know, firing Manny Diaz? Well, the athletic department in Miami wants to keep all of that a secret, as the media was asked not to ask Cristobal about the hiring process during the press conference today. So if you were a reporter covering Cristobal's introductory press conference today, would you honor the request not to ask about the hiring process? Swipe left or swipe right, Sinano?
I would swipe right, because the other part of that equation was that they were told that the administration who hired him would address said process, much like Mike Bone addressed it with us.
Or neglected to address it.
No, they did address it. The president of the university and they don't have an athletic director at the moment. They're hiring someone. But the four men that were in charge of the process answered those questions on the side. But you're saying Mike Bone, neglected.
Yes.
Well, no, he answered the questions. He just didn't want to talk specifically about the Zoom call Cap asked him about 5,000 times.
Yeah,
but he did address the situation.
Because just the way you phrased the question, though, Lindsay, if I didn't know what George just added to the story, and they said to me, hey, look, you cannot ask him about the process. Be like, hey, how you doing? Mario, over here, how you doing? Kaplan, yeah, Sedano and Cap, 710. Hey, tell me the story about you guys getting, you know, hired. How'd that go down? Seriously, like, that is so annoying to say, hey, these questions are off limits. I mean, then just make sure you only have people in there that are fluffy for you, they're writing fluff pieces for you. And that's ridiculous. But George added the rest of the story, which is you can get that information over here from these dudes.
Sure, but I think most reporters are still going to want to hear it from him, you know? Like, and I would still, even though they were like, hey, we're going to address this on the side.
But what I'm saying is, like, Lincoln Riley was asked about that, and he kind of just, like, danced around it. Like, he didn't give you an answer either. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he basically said, yeah, you know, you could talk, you know. So, like, I don't think anybody's going to answer those questions, Lindsay, is my point.
I don't know why it's such a big secret.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right, Cap. I agree with you. I personally don't see what all the mystery is about. But, like, don't you at least want, like, the clip, the sound clip, like, you know, as a reporter, don't you at least want to see his reaction? Because if he's casual, cool, and, like, you know, whatever, has, like, the whatever the standard stamped approved version of the answer is, that's one thing. But, you know, if he starts getting nervous or maybe he's going to accidentally say something that he shouldn't have said, and I don't know. I just feel like you should always ask.
I mean, I get it, but Brian Kelly's didn't do it, or, you know, Lincoln Riley didn't do it. I mean, it just is what it is, like, is what I'm saying. And if there's someone there to answer those questions, then, you know, is it really a need to ask the coach specifically? Like, I don't know. Like, that's all I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't press Lincoln Riley on it either. I laughed at Cap for pressing Mike Bone, for God's sake.
There's something to these things, though, that are just, I find it interesting. Like, why would Mario Cristobal have gone from Oregon to Miami? Well, because he's going home. Okay, we get that part of it. Okay. But can you explain the process? You're at Oregon. You're going to a bowl game. Miami's
well, he also not. Did an interview on radio already about that. Like, there's also that.
Yeah, but if I'm there at the press conference, I'm like, hey, I'm here throwing some questions your way.
I feel like sometimes when you say, don't ask this, it creates a bigger deal.
Oh, no, I do agree with that. Yes, I would agree. I mean, he could have, I don't know. Like he went on an Oregon radio station, you know, there in Eugene with the big columnist from Portland and addressed all of it. Like, so I mean, it's not, I don't know, like, just like Lincoln Riley, kind of sort of addressed it, didn't really, but, you know, like, my point is these colleges control things way more than professional teams. Like, that's just the reality of it. Like, it's not, they're not held to the same standard as professional teams, because professional teams are in essence a public trust. In a lot of ways, where you fund their stadiums or arenas and things of that nature. Most of them, not all of them, obviously, because SoFi is privately financed. But you get my point. It's not the same standard because of that.
All right, well, next one. Joey Chestnut is the undisputed king of competitive eating. In his latest competition, he absolutely blew everybody else away. It was the 2021 world-famous St. Elmo Shrimp Cocktail Eating Championship at Indianapolis on Saturday. Chestnut ate an astounding 17 pounds of cocktail shrimp in just 8 minutes. Second place was nowhere near him. He beat the second place finisher by about 3 pounds of cocktail shrimp. Do you think that you guys could eat 17 pounds of cocktail shrimp in a single day? Swipe left or swipe right, Cap?
Couldn't. I'm swiping left. I couldn't eat 17 pounds of anything in a single day.
Yeah, I'm swiping left as well. There's no chance. Like, I would keel over and vomit, basically, at that point. All right, we're done here. So, Ask Slee. We'll be going on with Mike, with Michael. He will be doing a Lakers pregame. Big game. Celtics-Lakers. They got to win tonight. I don't want to hear this nonsense. You got blown out by 30. Barkley's calling you out. Stephen A's calling you out. Go get a win today. Go get a win against the Celtics, your biggest rival, and let's have a good conversation tomorrow about it. All right, we're done here. Cap, great job. Lindsay, great job. Laura, great job. Slee and Michael are next. See ya.